YourSportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. Thanks for tuning in on this Thursday morning. We'll jump right into things this morning with Kaawa County Boys Soccer Head Coach Tanner Reed in the studio with us. And Tanner, first of all, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it seems like we were just getting ready for the season to start, and here we are. It's district tournament time, and you know, the season has come to an end on us.
Yeah, we kind of blinked and it flew by. We were, me and the assistant coaches were talking about that just the other day, how quickly things kind of seemed to culminate and get through once we started playing games, and now we're done.
Yeah, tough loss for you guys the other night against Hopkins County Central, but just kind of got off to a slow start and couldn't overcome it.
That was the story of our season, you know, and we told those boys, I mean, on paper, we were the better team, and we showed that in the regular season. But unfortunately, regular season doesn't matter when you get to the tournament. There were too many games this year where we let teams score first, and we let teams score early, and we had to come in from behind. There were several games where we gave up a goal inside the first 2 minutes of games. And, you know, that's stuff that can't happen. That's inexperience, immaturity, whatever you want to call it. And we told those boys, you're going to get the best version of Hopkins Central tonight. They're in front of their own crowd. They're hosting district. So you're going to get the best version of them. And we just didn't come out ready for it.
Yeah, playing at home makes a big difference in the postseason.
Oh, yeah, it does. And having that home support and not playing on an away field, you know, not having to travel and do all the other mess, I mean, it can give you a psychological advantage.
But you guys got down 2-0. Then you get a goal and get back in at 2-1. And you think, okay, we've settled down. Here we go. But just never could quite get over the hump.
That's exactly the thought process that we had on the sideline. Because once we got that goal, it was from the way that we wanted to play. You know, when we settled the game down and we passed the ball and we moved the ball very well, we knew that we were going to get our goals and get our chances and that there were going to be plenty of them. Unfortunately, we reverted back a little bit, went back to just kind of booting the ball up the field and not playing simple enough, and we weren't good enough on the night to play that way and get the win at the same time.
You had a lot of younger kids you were playing this year, and it seems like anytime you play a lot of younger kids, it's typically an up and down season. You guys had some ups and some downs and some ups and some downs, and Tuesday night's game just happened to be a down.
Mm-hmm. Not just younger kids. We also had, you know, kids that have never even played before. You know, one of my freshmen, you know, he picked up soccer at the end of eighth grade season last year, had a junior come out and decide that he wanted to play this year, had a senior come out and decide that he wanted to play this year. And all of those kids, you know, while they were inexperienced, they played vital roles in, you know, energy and effort and being on the field whenever we needed them to. But there are definitely situations where, you know, if you've been playing since you were 6, 7, 8 years old, you're accustomed to them a little bit better.
Yeah. Now, you did have some seniors, and it's always tough on those seniors playing that last game, and especially some of yours because they've been playing key roles for 3 or 4 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, top to bottom, we had the introduction of the new senior this year with Lane Morris, who came out and just gave pure heart and pure effort every time we needed him. I don't think he ever buckled at one thing that a coach told him to do, whether it was in practice or in game, even if he knew what to do or didn't know what to do. He's like, okay, I'll go and I'll try and do that. Then AJ Padilla, who transferred in, you know, last year, and as soon as he came in, made an immediate impact with his speed, with his footwork, his strength. He was our leading goal scorer this year, so he's something that we're definitely going to miss. And then, of course, you got the Nichols quote-unquote twins. Timothy, you know, I've played him just about everywhere. I said this after the game, I've played you everywhere except goalkeeper because your brother's a lot better at that than you are. But, you know, Timmy goes out there and does whatever I tell him to do for the most part, and sometimes he has to do a job that he doesn't want to do, and he had to do that for 4 straight years pretty much. And then Corbin in the goal, I could rant all day about Corbin and the goal. It wouldn't even be fair to the other boys to talk about him as long as I could. But all those guys are going to be severely missed in the next year.
Yeah, a luxury to have somebody like Corbin back there because for 4 years, you never really had to think about your goalie situation.
I really didn't. I knew he was going to be our first choice. There's only been twice where we had to call an audible on that, and One was 2 years ago when COVID was a thing. We had to play Blake Vivrette in goal against Hopkins Central, and he actually kept a shutout, and it was the first shutout of the season, so we didn't let Corbin hear the end of that for a little bit. And then this year, Corbin was battling an injury when we played Mayfield, so Xander Sample got the start then.
I always say that, especially in high school sports, everybody wants to win a championship. Everybody would like to win every game, but really you're competing against yourself. You know, you guys were a lot better at the end of the year than you were at the first of the year.
Absolutely. You know, somebody talked about our record at one point, which, you know, as a coach, you think about it a little bit, but it's not your focus, and you can't get too hung up on it. At one point, I think we were 2-7 before we headed into the string of games that we started to come together right before the Colonel Classic. And we were actually at the point at the end of the season where if we had won out, we would have had either a positive record or a 500 record. And whenever you start the way we started, that was a big accomplishment.
Yeah, you guys came really close to getting back to 500. And, of course, we talked about ups and downs. One of the highlights had to be the Christian County Colonel Showcase that you guys won.
Yeah, that was a very good weekend for the boys. You know, our first game, We talked about the first half that we played against Lyon County, and of course that's a rivalry game. I always say rivalry games, it doesn't matter if there's a better team or not, because the game's going to be so tight because neither team wants to give an inch. And we came out and played an incredible first half. We scored in the first minute for once. It was Alex Nofsinger, a freshman's first goal. But then that second half made me nervous because for some reason we completely reverted and played differently. But then playing a tough Christian County team, you know, the host team, we played incredible, played probably our best game of the season and eked that one out. But we did suffer a loss that probably did hurt us in these later games of the season where starting right back Deacon Carter suffered a concussion.
Yeah, so that kind of hurt you, left you a little shorthanded going forward, and you guys didn't have a ton of depth to start with.
Right, and we had a backup for his position. You know, Nathan Gibson and Dylan Samuels came in from time to time. Lane Morris, you know, we rotated players in there. But it does do something to you psychologically a little bit. You know, maybe the moment you got called in when you weren't thinking you were going to get called in. But we definitely missed him towards the end of the season because other than, you know, maybe Corbin a couple of times, he had been our most consistent player whenever we moved him from a forward spot to that defensive role.
How would you rate the season overall for you guys? What was kind of your goal coming in, and did you reach some of those goals maybe?
We definitely reached some of our goals, you know, both varsity and JV-wise. You know, the JV team put together another great season under Ryan and Cesar. You know, those boys impress me every time that I watch them play. And then varsity-wise, you know, most of our kids just had to learn what a season was going to be like, you know, because some of them for so long had relied on that senior class that left us the year before. Yeah. You know, when I had 12 seniors and you have these guys ahead of you and they're kind of doing everything, and we had to learn how to survive afloat without them. And now that we've had a season where we've done that, I think we're going to see a lot better results in our next season as well.
From a district standpoint, though, you guys always are going to run into Madisonville, North Hopkins. It seems like they just keep kicking out kids that are great at soccer, and you see them have 8 or 9 seniors, and you think, well, next year they'll be down a little bit, but they're never down a little bit.
They're never going to be down. You know, it doesn't matter if they have a senior class that has 3 or for senior class that has 33. They've got a great system up there. They're well coached. They're well trained. And then, you know, in the off season, all those kids play club soccer at a high level. You know, some of them travel to Indiana to play for the Fire. Some of them play for the Bowling Green FC club up in Bowling Green. So you got kids that their passion is soccer, and you know, whenever it comes to high school time, it's just another thing for them.
Yeah. Well, it just seems like the district is always going to come down to us and Hopkins Central trying to figure out who gets to go against Madisonville in the championship.
Right now, that's probably the safest. Yeah. If you're going to take the sports bet on Kentucky, that would probably be the one to take.
Well, the big coach question I always like to ask is, you know, what are your thoughts on the state of high school soccer right now, and what would you do, if anything, to improve the game?
There's a lot that I have an opinion on there, and how valid my opinions are is questionable. I'm sure there's a lot of people that might be listening that are like,
here's your chance.
But we are, you know, there are good things about the game going on, you know, as far as, you know, the youth development and how we're bringing things about. But something that we constantly do talk about is, you know, why we don't understand why it's not classed. You know, why it's not classed, because whenever you go back and you look at the records, and you would have better knowledge of it than I would, I can't remember the last time that a private school like St. X or somebody like that didn't win the state title right at the end of the year. And of course, that's looking at the end of the year. It's like you didn't even get out of your district. Fair enough. But the last time it was a team is a school like Davis County, which is huge, yeah. You know. So I definitely can't remember the last time it was a 1A or a 2A school. So the number one thing on my list is, why don't we class the sport and, you know, get or at least have a private school tournament and a public school yeah. tournament, you know, have your own awards and everything like that. That's at the top of my list.
Well, and we talk about how great Madisonville is mm-hmm. around here, but when you get to that next level of teams in the state, even Madisonville has trouble competing with those teams.
Yeah, they actually competed against St. X this year whenever on their home field, and I think St. X, it was either 4-0 or 4-1, and while Madisonville, who is an incredible team, yeah. you know, the fact that they ran into a buzzsaw like that, it makes you wonder what else is out there. Mm.
I'm not sure classification is ever coming. I think it would make a lot of sense. I think there's a reason that 48 states classify high school sports mm-hmm. and two others don't. I guess Delaware and Kentucky are the last two holdouts, but Delaware's only got about a third as many schools as Kentucky has.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I'm not a can't figure out why football's got six and everybody else has none, but I guess track and cross-country have classes, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we would still run into, you know, good teams in our class yeah. for sure. You know, Murray would probably be at the top of the list mm-hmm. Around here, and, you know, there would still be some healthy competition and things. But I think, you know, the number one thing about it, and this is the number one non-drawback that I see, is giving the small schools the recognition and the notoriety that some of these big schools are getting. They're going to get recognized on a public stage, and they're going to get to feel that value. And all that's going to do is make a kid at a small school feel really, really good about themselves.
Yeah. Well, and if you're a smaller school and you have a really good team coming back, you really feel like you have a chance to compete. And yeah. right now you can have your best team ever. And then you look around, and there's always a Marshall County or a Henderson County or a Madisonville North Hopkins around that kind of blocks your path in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, I've got a good team, but we're also going to have to play yeah. out of our mind and yeah, have to have a lot of factors mm-hmm. come in.
Now, do you watch a lot of soccer outside of just coaching? Or?
Oh, yeah. It's probably my number one hobby. You know, I keep up with the Premier League. I support the club Arsenal that's in London. Mm-hmm. I've supported them ever since I was a kid. I love keeping up with our national team, and over the last few years, I've gotten involved with Nashville FC as well.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, do you get to see Nashville and St. Louis and those teams very much? Have you been to the new facility in St. Louis? Everybody says it's pretty sharp.
I haven't been able to go. We were talking about the giant TIFO that they did the other day, which is like this little banner that they put up behind the goal that goes up, you know, like 60, 70, 80 yeah. feet. They were playing Kansas City, and they made a Wicked Witch of the West one that said, "You're not in Kansas anymore." And we were just talking about yeah. how cool that is. So the atmosphere of, you know, soccer in the United States right now is probably one of the most fun atmospheres I've ever seen. And of course, the World Cup is just around the corner, yeah. and I've been making plans for that. But now that, you know, the season's over, I'm hoping I'll get that. I haven't even gotten the chance to go to Nashville's new park yet. Yeah.
Well, I was a little disappointed that Nashville or St. Louis or somebody centrally located in the United States didn't get, you know, a World Cup mm-hmm. chance.
Yeah, I was holding on to the thought that maybe the Geodis Park at Nashville would get a chance, but I lucked out that Atlanta did get one.
Yeah.
And I've got a buddy of mine that is a season ticket holder in Atlanta, so he's going to give me a hookup whenever tickets finally drop. I'm just going to go stay with him for a weekend and hang out up there.
Of course, it's over three countries, right? It's Canada, the United States, and Mexico, so it's kind of spread out.
It is, which I think the World Cup is starting to do. They made an announcement about the 2030 one the other day, talking yeah. about it being in France and several other places, yeah. which to me is a little weird because every other year it's just been one
right.
host country, so I didn't understand why whenever we got it, we had to spread it across the continent.
Yeah, it's North America. Yeah,
yeah. I didn't understand why it couldn't just be the American world, but yeah. that's my opinion.
Well, looking at your team, what do you have coming back for next season?
We have a lot of good things coming back next season. You know, whenever you look at our starting lineup, you know, three of those seniors that graduate now we lose, but we return everything else in that starting lineup. And, you know, it is my goal as a coach right now to spend a lot of time with those boys, especially since, you know, I've said all season long, one of the number one things that we're lacking is experience. Yeah, as of now, we're going to kind of do an open field situation for as long as we possibly can, where, you know, one day a week, the boys are still going to come and train with me just like they would during the season, just to get them prepared and hopefully not slack off too much.
Well, it will be here before you know it next season.
I know, and I'm ready for it again. It took me a long time to go to sleep on Tuesday night after that loss, you know, just replaying things over and over in my head, what I would do differently, what certain situations could have changed this, could have changed that, you know, where I made mistakes and failed them as a coach. So, yeah, I would definitely like to replay and go back through it again as soon as possible.
Yeah, too bad we couldn't have had the district tournament here this year. We got that last year, but I think playing here would have been a little different for our two teams over there.
Yeah, probably so, but then you never know if an act of God, like a Transformer's going to explode on you in the middle of the game and you got to replay the second
half.
All
the lights go out, yeah.
Jeez.
Well, good luck to you guys as you get ready for next season. Like I said, next season's always approaching, and we'll be here before you know it, and I appreciate you coming in and spending some time with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah.
That's Caldwell County Boys Soccer Head Coach Tanner Reed. Tigers finishing up the season with a loss in the district semifinals Tuesday over at Hopkins County Central. We need to get to a break on the show. We'll be back with more after this. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Hi, this is Lauren Brandon, and I'm proud to have served in this community for 45 years. As a bank that's been part of the Princeton community for over 139 years, we've seen many changes. As we celebrate First Southern's first 40 years as an organization, we know any achievements we have had are because of the customers we have worked alongside. We look forward to spending the next 40 years and beyond serving you. For more information, visit fsmb.net, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
At Trilogy Performance Sports, they believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training. Their staff members are actively enriching the lives of their members and creating a community of like-minded people, and getting you in shape is their number one goal. They have everything you need: knowledge, experience, and equipment. They find out what's important to you and design a customized plan that fits your needs. Learn more at TrilogyPerformanceSports.com.
Hi, this is Jim Lancaster with H&R AgriPower. For a limited time, take advantage of 0% financing for 84 months on new Case IH Farmall tractors. Now is the time to get a great deal on a new tractor that works as hard as you, Case IH Farmall. Whether you're mowing, baling, feeding, loading, you name it, we have the tractor for you. Stop by and see us at H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville today and talk to our sales team about the limited time financing offer you don't want to miss.
While supplies last, customers must qualify for program with CNHI Capital.
Caldwell Medical Associates Orthopedic Clinic is your one-stop shop for orthopedic care. Our team of medical professionals can diagnose and treat a wide range of orthopedic care and get you back on the path to a happier, healthier you. Whether you need basic fracture care or osteoporosis management, a sports physical, or back pain treatment, we've got you covered. To learn more or to schedule an appointment with an orthopedic provider, visit CaldwellMedical.com.
We're your locally owned Benjamin Moore retailer. We're your store for quality with brilliant and durable paints in a variety of sheens and thousands of colors. We're your store for service with one-on-one advice for contractors and homeowners. We're your local experts, and we're here to help with all your painting projects. Benjamin Moore at Joiner Hardware on Main Street in Princeton.
Back on the Sideline Report here at 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. I appreciate Caldwell County Boys Soccer Head Coach Tanner Reed for dropping by the studio. A bit of a slower week in the sports world for Caldwell County High School this week because of fall break. No football game on Friday. We will still have your Sports Edge Football Friday, though, on the air following the 5 o'clock newscast Friday. And we will still have a live Saturday morning quarterback from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery across West Main Street here in Princeton. That'll be at 9 o'clock Saturday morning, so we will have a live show, as always, during the football season. Kiowa County Lady Tiger volleyball team is in action today. The Lady Tigers playing at Union County, so good luck to the Lady Tigers there. And again, no football Friday. The Tigers off this week, but we'll head to Murray High School next week for another Class 2A First District contest. Stay with us. Back with more on the Sideline Report after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Carefree living at the lake with Rivers Bend Retirement Community. Beautiful studio apartments just a golf cart ride away from the Lake Barkley Overlook are now available. Western Kentucky's best-kept secret isn't a secret anymore.
Your WeatherEdge Weather Center forecast, an overnight low of 65 degrees, cloudy skies by this afternoon. High of 73, 90% chance of showers as well. Thursday night, a 70% chance of showers, especially before midnight. Cloudy skies, low of 59. Then on Friday, mostly sunny, high of just 73. Friday night, mostly clear and a low around 41. Going to be awful crisp with high school football in Western Kentucky. But back to right now, an overnight low of 65. By this afternoon, a high near 73 and a 90% chance of showers.
Hi, this is Lauren Brandon, and I'm proud to have served in this community for 45 years. As a bank that's been part of the Princeton community for over 139 years, we've seen many changes. As we celebrate First Southern's first 40 years as an organization, we know any achievements we have had are because of the customers we have worked alongside. We look forward to spending the next 40 years and beyond serving you. For more information, visit fsmb.net, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to pro shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Trice Hughes Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Trice Hughes in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580-103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. Again, thanks to Tanner Reed, Kiowa County Boys Soccer Head Coach, for coming in this morning and joining us in the studio. Going to change gears a little bit now, bring in Scott Brown from YourSportsEdge.com. And Scott, I mentioned a little bit earlier that it's kind of a slower week for Kiowa County sports, but it's been a busy week so far for you between district soccer tournaments and state golf tournaments.
Yeah, I've gotten the frequent flyer miles cashed in. Unfortunately, it doesn't mean money. It just means an appreciation of going where you go. But, yeah, once you get once the calendar flips into October, that's always a busy time because that's when a lot of your sports are coming to an end. It means there's a lot of postseason going on.
Yeah, we do get a bit of a break this year because they kind of broke up soccer and volleyball. Seemed like last year we were trying to do both districts and regions at the same time, but this week we do get just a, or this year we do get just a little bit of a break with a week or two between the postseasons for the two sports.
I think you have seen a lot of schools go to the rotating where you host everything in one year. You host district volleyball, you host district soccer, baseball, basketball, softball. I know the 5th district does that, you know, and it kind of helps you remember where everything's at. And I think because of that, I think you've had some administrators say, hey, we're hosting everything, and we can't do district volleyball and district soccer in the same week. And I know pre-COVID, you had district soccer and district volleyball or region soccer and district volleyball going on at the same time, and even we couldn't cover everything. As much as we cover, we couldn't keep it covered. So I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that they have kind of put a little bit of space in between district volleyball and district soccer.
Yeah, one year district volleyball and district soccer were both at Madisonville North Hopkins, and I remember running up the hill from the gym to the field back and forth trying to get to both.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why they've done that. And if it is, then kudos to the athletic directors for figuring that out and the KHSAA. I hope it's just not a happy coincidence, and then next year we go back to everything being in the same week. But they've kind of staggered the start of the seasons. I know some of it may be availability, and of course they keep tinkering with the postseason formats, and they've done that again in volleyball where they've gone back to the region pod system. And, you know, I find it just incredibly awesome, incredibly ironic, coincidental that when it came time to draw brackets, and I say draw in parentheses or in quotes, for the statewide volleyball brackets, amazingly, Louisville drew away from Northern Kentucky, and Northern Kentucky drew away from Lexington, and Lexington drew away from Louisville. That's just, yeah, kudos to that. I'm sure that was totally random at best. So,
yeah, what are the odds? Yeah,
yeah. Who would have thought that? So, I'm not a fan of the region pod system. I think it penalizes. It not only penalizes Western Kentucky, but it's going to penalize Louisville and Northern Kentucky. You know, do it like basketball, and just you have a 16-team tournament, and you draw, and whoever you draw, that's who you play. And if you end up drawing a Northern Kentucky or a Louisville in the first round, then, you know, that's tough. I don't know. Then you got some people who say, well, I'd rather draw Region 1 than I had draw a Louisville school in the first round. But you have to play the Louisville school at some point, and you're playing that Region 1 school either at their place or at your place. I don't know. I just, they seem to tinker with this every year, and you would think now that COVID's over, we would go back to having a 16-team, one-site tournament to determine a state champion. But they keep doing this. You know, we're going to play first round games on campus, and I don't know, that's not a state tournament atmosphere. That's just a big home game.
Yeah, part of the prize for winning your region, to me anyway, is to get to go to the state tournament.
Right. I mean, and the experience of going to there. I remember when Trigg County won the state cross-country championship in 1991, that team was just inducted into their Hall of Fame over the weekend. There were four girls on the school bus who had never been north of Bowling Green. They'd never seen a big building. They'd never, I mean, that was just a culture shock for them to be able to go to a big city and see big buildings and eat in a nice restaurant. And, you know, not only winning the state championship, but that's an experience for them. It's an experience for anybody who goes and plays in a state championship and see how things are. So, you know, soccer has done that for years. And, of course, if you're in Western Kentucky, it's a brutal draw because Region 1 and Region 3 and Region 4 are three of the best soccer regions in the state. And, you know, Caldwell County dealt with this for years in girls' soccer. They would win the district, and their reward was to go play Marshall County in the first round when Marshall County's girls' soccer was among the best in the state. You could have had a career season, a school record season, but you knew it was going to end once you got past the region because you were going to Marshall County to play every year.
Well, and that brings up something that I just talked to Tanner Reed with, and that's classification. But, Scott, we've only got 16 minutes left, so we might not should go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I've long been a proponent of classification, and I'm even okay with classifying sports and leaving basketball alone. If you want to leave basketball a one-class sport, so be it. Because in my eyes, basketball is not the sport that is in most need of classification. It's volleyball, it's soccer, it's softball, and it's baseball. Those are the four sports that need classification. Three classes is all you need, just like they do in track and cross country, which are class sports, which makes no sense because you've got some sports that are class and some that aren't. But I'm okay leaving basketball alone if that's your argument. But you've already got two sports class, track and cross country. Just go to the same model, three classes, and do that.
Well, and then you have six class football.
Which is too many, and drop that back to four the way it was and go from there. I mean, they went to six class football because there was a lot of the big public schools, the Scott Counties and the Simon Kentons, they were going to leave the KHSAA over a public-private split. And so to appease them, they said, well, we'll just, you know, we'll make it six class football instead of going public-private. There's not enough schools in Kentucky to do a public-private football split. That's, public-private is not the big issue. Classification is the issue. You can't, the only school west of Elizabethtown and Bowling Green, the only private school that plays football is Owensboro Catholic. What are you going to do with them? Who's their district going to be?
Yeah, there's nobody for them to play.
There's nobody for them to play. So that's, you know, public versus private football is idiotic right now. You know, just reduce it back to four classes. You know, it's interesting. You know, Trigg County and Hopkinsville are both playing in 16 football districts this year. And in the past, if you just showed up, you were in the playoffs. Now, you got to win two games just to get a playoff game. And Trigg's finding that hard right now. They're behind the eight ball. They've got to win out just to have a shot at the playoffs. You know, it makes those district games mean more. And so by reducing the number of classes, then you increase the size of your district. And it makes your district more meaningful, and it will allow you to go more geographically in a district. The district will be more geographically based as it is now. You're having to stretch out because of the lack of teams.
Well, and for Caldwell, it went the other way. The Tigers used to have to win a game or two to get into the playoffs, but now Caldwell's in a four-team district with Mayfield, Murray, and Crittenden County, and all those teams know they're going to the playoffs this season.
Right, and you obviously the district games are important because it determines whether you go on the road or you play at home. But you're in the playoffs regardless. And, you know, used to, you know, back in the day, I know people get tired of hearing that, but back in the day when they first went to the, expanded the playoffs in 1991 and four teams from each district went, you had 6, 7, 8 districts. And, you know, you would go 2-5 in district play and not make the playoffs.
Right.
You know, and now at the other end, it's like, hey, you got a football team this year? Congratulations, you're in the playoffs before you even play a game.
Well, and maybe some of our older fans will remember when you had to win the district to get to go to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of good Caldwell County teams. There were a lot of good Fort Campbell teams. And there were a lot of good Trigg County teams that did not make the playoffs because of Mayfield, just because you only took a district champion at that time. You know, in the early 80s, Trigg and Mayfield, Trigg would lose 7-0, 10-0, 14-7. And there's not a doubt in anybody's mind that if under the current format, had they met a second time, Trigg probably would have won one or possibly two of those games, and may have even advanced to the state. There are a lot of people say to this day, the 1982 Trigg County football team, probably if there were no Mayfield, they would have been state champions. Their defense was that good. And your season came down to one game. And I know Caldwell County fans are saying the same thing. There were years where you had a really good team, but you couldn't get past, Mayfield. I mean, Fort Campbell, They would go 9-1, 8-1, and that one loss was to Mayfield. It kept them out of the playoffs. And then you look at who Mayfield's playing, and they're playing a Greene County team that's 4-6.
Well, and one year when they actually went to the champion and the runner-up advancing to the playoffs in football, Caldwell County was still stuck in a situation in the district because Mayfield was ranked number one in the state. I think Caldwell was two or three, and Fort Campbell was number four. So there you had three of the top four teams in the state in one district, and one of those teams were always, you know, going to be kicked out because they couldn't make the playoffs.
Right, yeah. It's interesting to see how the playoff situation has evolved through the years, and I'm okay with four teams getting in. I would be okay with four teams getting in under a four-class system. I'm okay if they just go to the winner and the runner-up getting in under a six-class system right now. You're not going to see a four seed in the six-class system win a state title. Just not even the Louisville district's not going to happen. And you might see a three seed advance and win a few games, but they're not going to win a state title. You know, whereas before, under the old four-class system, you know, Bourbon County, they were a 4 seed and won the state 1 year because they played in a tough district. And I think they beat a 3 seed Owensboro Catholic for the state championship. So I don't know. We get back to the whole, why are we tweaking this? Why did we have to change volleyball? Who come up with, hey, let's go back to region sites, and instead of it being a 16 tournament, it's an 18 tournament, a state tournament. I don't know. They've taken a lot of heat, the KHSAA has, over their state tournament experience. They got roasted at state golf a couple years ago because you showed up at the Bowling Green Country Club and you had no idea it was a state tournament. There was no signage. There was no banners. There was no nothing. You walked up and you checked in and they said, hey, go. Here's the practice screen. Be at the tee box at 8:10 and you go. And, I mean, there's no... you thought she was playing in the Bowling Green Invitational as opposed to state tournament. They took some heat over that. They took some heat at softball a while back when it was at Jack Fisher Park in Owensboro. Same thing. You know, part of playing in a state tournament is the state tournament experience. And you get that when you play at Rupp in basketball. You get that when you play at UK for baseball, and now you get that for softball. They planned at John Crop, but I don't know. Other sports, you just don't get that.
We're talking this morning with Scott Brown from YourSportsEdge.com. Need to get to a timeout on the show, but we'll come back and have more after this. Stay with us as the Sideline Report rolls on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Now's the time to make sure you and your family are financially taken care of for life. Call Josh Ray with Woodman Life at 270-625-0307.
Your WeatherEdge Weather Center forecast. We have an overnight low of 65 degrees, cloudy skies. By this afternoon, we've got a 90% chance of showers, high near 73. Thursday night, a 70% chance of showers before midnight. Cloudy skies, low around 59. And then Friday, mostly sunny, high near 73. Friday night, mostly clear, low around 41. But back to right now, an overnight low of 65 by this afternoon. Raining with a high near 73.
Financial planning should be specific to you and your life circumstances. That is why we created InvestFB Wealth Management, a division of Farmers Bank. Hi, I'm Jeff McDaniels, InvestFB's lead financial advisor. Whether you're saving for retirement, starting a business, or planning your family's future, our individual and comprehensive approach can help you achieve your financial goals. Visit us today at our Princeton or Eddyville offices to start a conversation about your individual financial needs.
What are we going to do? Doctor, will he be okay?
Unexpected happens. Goodwin Insurance Agency has you covered with auto, home, life, commercial, boat, and RV insurance. That way, when the unexpected happens...
Congratulations! It's a girl!
You're covered.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Thanks for joining us here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Appreciate everyone listening in each week. Thanks to Tanner Reed from the Kiowa County Boys Soccer Team for joining us earlier today. Talking now with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. And Scott, we don't get to do this very often, but we're able to pat ourselves on the back last week with a big award for YourSportsEdge.com.
Yep. Third straight year and the fourth time in 5 years that the Kentucky Broadcasters Association has awarded YourSportsEdge.com with, it's called the best digital product, but it's the best website. That, you know, that's the fancy way of saying best website. And I'm a little biased, but yeah, I think we deserve it every year. For what we do, the coverage we provide, the area that we provide it to, the manner in which we provide it, and I'm a little salty still about the 1 year we didn't win it. The 1 year we didn't win it was the COVID year when we had to work harder that year to come up with sports than other years because there was no sports, and we still continue to put out a product and continue to thrive, I think, and lost out to a radio station, WEKU, that pretty much put together a site for COVID. You know, how boring is that? But that one won. Like I said, that was the year we should have won it. That year, I'm more proud of that year probably than any. The fact that our owner Beth Mann said we're not going to split up the sports team, and we're going to, you know, it's up to you guys to keep putting out sports, and we did.
Yeah, had to get creative that year to kind of come up with content. Like you said, COVID had kind of shut everything down, and one thing we do pride ourselves on is a lot of content on our website. I think if you go there now and look from just district soccer matches and other things this week, we have a ton of content up on our site. But COVID kind of shut everything down. So, like I said, we kind of had to get creative to come up with things to put on our website.
We did, and I thought we did as good as you can. We did a lot more individual spotlight-type stories. We did a lot of historical stories. Those were fun to look up. And then around the time Memorial Day came around, golf got started back with some junior golf, and we covered the heck out of that. And really, we still get people from Western Kentucky and even parts of the state that still know who we are because of our golf coverage during COVID.
So a big award for us, and like I said, don't get to pat ourselves on the back very often, but we'll take this opportunity, and then we'll get right back to work.
Right, and you know, everybody does a good job. There's a lot of knowledge. You're talking close to 100 years of sports knowledge. Yes, that's another way of saying we're old. But
yeah, that's not all just me, though. You know, that 100 years is not all just me.
Yeah, it's not just Todd. We didn't start carving letters into rocks or anything like that. But you know, there is a lot of pride with it. I mean, we're not taking 250 pictures and just slapping them up unedited. I mean, we there's standards. We go through every picture and make sure that every picture is in focus or well lit. Our video, we just don't slap up a random video. I mean, there's some work that goes behind that. Our content's original. We're not sharing 20 things to Facebook every day. We're doing a lot of work. There's a lot of work and a lot of time that goes into it, and that's something we're all passionate about. And when people ask us, the game was last night and here it is the next morning and there's nothing up, it's like, hey, Tuesday I covered golf all day in Bowling Green and then drove back to Eddyville and covered two soccer matches. I mean, you know, there are nights where you're covering volleyball at one place and soccer at the next. There was one night where I covered three things in three different cities. I mean, that's just what we do. I mean, it's a labor of love, and, you know, I tell people I'll do it until I don't enjoy doing it anymore, but I've been doing it a long time, which means I've been enjoying it for a long time.
We're talking this morning with Scott Brown from YourSportsEdge.com. Scott, time for just one more quick question. Who you got this weekend, Kentucky or Georgia?
That's a tough one. If it were in Lexington, I might consider Kentucky. I think that Georgia wins, but I think that Kentucky will cover if you're into that kind of thing. And after a couple of weeks ago, a lot more people are into that kind of thing in the state of Kentucky. But I think Kentucky's defense is going to match up well against a Georgia offense that is good, but it's struggling to find an identity right now. So I'll say 27-17 Georgia.
All right. Should be a good game.
It should be. There's several good games on the schedule this weekend. Notre Dame-Louisville is an interesting one. I think the Irish win that one, but that's a true measuring stick game for Jeff Brohm and the Cardinals.
Cats and Cards both 5-0, so some interesting times in college football. Scott, I appreciate you coming on the show this morning and talking about sports and our big award.
Yes, congratulations to you, Todd. Appreciate it, and look forward to seeing At some point, I'm sure I'll come across your path in the postseason, either at soccer or volleyball.
Yeah. That's Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. Appreciate him coming on the show this morning. Also, thanks to Tanner Reed, Caldwell County Boys Soccer Head Coach, for being on the Sideline Report this morning. That's going to wrap us up. Don't forget, we will have Saturday Morning Quarterback live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street here in Princeton, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Even though there's no football game for the Tigers this week, Tigers off this Friday, they will go to Murray High School next Friday. That's going to wrap us up for this week's edition of the Sideline Report here on WPKY. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for joining us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY. WPKY.